Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. And let's just read the verses from God's Word here, and we pray that the Lord will make them a blessing to our hearts. Exodus, chapter 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord has said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp and far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. It came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. It came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. All the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See that thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me, yet thou hast said, I will know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said to him, Of thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here, that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we ask of thee that thou will bless us tonight as we open thy word and speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we meditate upon thy truth, and, Lord, have a word for our hearts tonight. And as we bid farewell to an old year, Father, we thank thee for all that thou didst give to us in that year. We thank thee for the times that you've disciplined us, the times that you've spoken to us. And, Lord, we thank thee for the times that we've had that sweet fellowship with thee. We thank thee for the times we've been driven to our knees and we have cried out unto thee, and thou, O God, hast delivered us again and again. We thank thee for those that have been saved this year that's past. We thank thee for backsliders that have been restored. And now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless us as we wait in thy courts tonight. And as we gather round thy word, as this old year dies and leaves us, and we enter into a new year, on track by human man, we pray that thou wilt, our God, go before us. And may thy presence be with us every hour of this year in thy sovereign will. We pray in Jesus' precious name. and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You remember the time that Moses went up onto the mountain? He went up there to meet with God, and as he went up to meet with God, he spoke with God. And as he spoke with God, God spoke to him. They had fellowship the one with the other. God wrote upon those tables of stone the law, the Ten Commandments, on both sides of the stone, and God given those two tablets of stone, and he was there in the presence of God. And whilst he was there having fellowship with God, down there below the mountain, Israel, the children of Israel, was engaged in gross idolatry. It's amazing that Moses is about to face another great trial. And amidst the backcloth of the darkness of that great apostasy and that great idolatry, I see the noble character of God's child shine forth. It is true that for 40 days, 40 nights, he spent there in the mountain with God and had wonderful fellowship with God. He enjoyed the presence of the Lord. And yet, whilst he was there enjoying the presence of God, friend, Aaron was seeking to do something else. Aaron sought to compromise truth with error and to please the crowd. And Aaron raised up the golden calf. And they worshipped the golden calf as God. And up there in the mountain, as God's servant fellowships with him, that idol, that graven image, that golden calf, that mixed, he tried to mix the calf worship with Jehovah. What an awful tragedy when people try to compromise the standard of God's word. And friend, the tragedy is this, that through the compromise of Aaron, you'll find that the people corrupted themselves. Aaron was God's child. He was the one who was there as the helpmeet for Moses. He was the one that indeed was to be the voice, the one Moses acknowledging that he was unworthy and he could not speak, and yet Aaron was sent with him. And yet whilst Moses was communing with God, friend, Aaron was compromising the truth and led the people into the darkness of corruption. And into the darkness of idol worship. Next, in fact, if you turn with me to chapter 32, you'll notice it says, in verse number 7, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which I was brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way." Notice that. How quick it is for people to turn out of the way, friend. How easily the devil seems to sidetrack people. And here we find that God says, listen, they turned aside quickly. Out of the way that they knew what was right. And there they were worshipping false God. They were bowing down before the golden calf that Aaron had made. God sends them down. You see, Moses was totally unaware of what was happening. But God saw all that was going on. You see, there was a rebellion among the people. There was that rebellious spirit, the attitude that would not bow before God, and they were defiant of him. The Bible tells us that they were a stiff-necked people. They were a rebellious people. They corrupted themselves and rebelled against the clear commandments of God. They sinned willfully against God. And so God sends his man down. It says there in verse 7, chapter 32, "Go, get thee down." God's man's got to do something about it. And God has called Moses to a task which is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. He's got to speak up for God, friend. And so he does. Unashamed for God. And so it says there, when you go down to verse 15, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount." See him going down. He's carrying in his hands the two tables of stone. And as he walks down there, and Joshua is with him, they hear a noise. Joshua says, listen, it seems as if it's the sound of war. But somehow that Israel, whilst they were up on the mountain, that Israel was involved in the war. And Moses said, you know, he would insight information from God. And God says, no, it's not. It's not the noise of war. It's not the shout of victory. It's not indeed the noise of a people that are being overcome by an enemy. It's not the groans of them that they've been overtaken or overcome. Go down to verse 18, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And the people were singing, friend. And they were dancing before this idol, this golden calf. You know, whenever Moses came down and he heard the singing and he saw it, his heart was grieved. His heart was broken. And friend, is it not true, as we look upon the sin of our nation, and as we look upon the awful apostasy and the turning away from the old gospel shift, does that not grieve the heart of a child of God? Moses, as he sees the rebellion, as he sees the iniquity of the children of Israel, the Bible says there in verse 19, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and he brake them beneath the mount. Symbolizing, friend, as he broke the tables on which the commandments are written, he symbolized what Israel had been doing in breaking the commands and the heart of God. Then he did something else. He took up that calf, friend. He couldn't stand idly by when he saw this false worship. He couldn't stand by and be silent when he saw this idolatry. Even though Aaron was standing in the midst of it, his brother was standing there. No, he couldn't stand idly by. And so he took that calf which they had made, and he burned it in the fire. And then he took it, friend, and he ground it into powder. And after he ground it into powder, friend, you know what he did? He took the powder of that golden calf, and he spread it, he sprinkled it over the water. And then he did something else. And then he made the people drink the water. Because what he wanted to show them was this, friend. He wanted to show them the sin that they had been involved in. He wanted to show them the bitterness. How bitter was their sin in the sight of God. And as they drank that water that was powdered with the burnt ashes that was ground of the golden calf. And as they drank it, it was awful to taste. Just as when God looks upon the sin of our nation, how awful it is. The iniquity of our nation is in the very sight of the righteous and the holy God. And he made the children of Israel to drink it. And then he turned to Aaron. And he challenged Aaron about his sin. And as he challenged Aaron concerning his sin, you notice how rebellious Aaron's heart was. Because it says in verse 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou didst bring so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. He said, listen, Moses, don't be so angry. You've got a wrong spirit here. See what he tried to do, friend? He tried to turn the spotlight off his sin. He said, Moses, you have a wrong spirit because, you see, you're angry of what we did. You're angry. You're not having the proper spirit. And instead of accepting the rebuke as a rebuke from God, friend, he protested Moses' anger. And then go to verse 23. Or verse 22, thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. And so they give it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And friend, not only did he try to blame Moses for his spirit. Moses, you're angry. You're wrong, you know. Don't be talking to me. You're wrong. Your spirit is wrong. You're angry at this idolatry. God's child shouldn't be angry. Tell me the Bible, tell me, friends, says, be ye angry and sin not. We're not to let the sun go down on our wrath, but friend, let me tell you this. We ought to have a righteous indignation against that which is wrong. And Moses stood against it. And they say, you haven't a loving spirit, Moses. And so he tried to deflect the problem from him. He tried to turn it away from what he had done to Moses. And then he said, listen, the people's to blame. Listen, they give me, they ask me. I just simply did it. They said, listen, we don't know where Moses is, what's become of him. Make us a god. And I just said to them, give me the gold. And he said, they took off their earrings and their ornaments. And I just put it into the fire. And listen, notice what he says. Then I cast it into the fire, verse 24, and there came out this calf. This has to be of God. You see, a miracle has happened. It just came out a calf. And let me tell you, Aaron was making himself a liar. It did not happen that way. You say, how do I know it didn't happen? Because God said it didn't happen that way. I'll tell you exactly how it happened. Go back in the chapter. In verse number 2, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Now mark verse 4. And he received them at their hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And they made an altar before it. And then he said, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And so we find that Aaron, after molding and engraving it, he made a liar. He said, oh, it just came out. Just a miracle happened. Just came out of the fire. My friend, Moses challenged Aaron, as God's children have to do. And in this year to come, in the will of God, God has set this pulpit to be a challenge. This has to be a sounding forth of the word of God, friend, whether people like it, whether it gains the favor of man, or whether it loses the favor of man. We have to be faithful to God. And as we challenge the sins of our nation, and as we stand in God's name and simply proclaim the word of God as God has given it, then you notice what Moses did. He called the people to action, verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And there was a call to separation from the crowd. There was a call to separation. Who is on the Lord's side? Let me tell you, you can't stand in the crowd. You just can't be one of them, friend. Let me tell you, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And here is, to be on the Lord's side requires separation. But it also requires a declaration. Are you on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You've got to be willing, my friend, to take a public stand. You cannot sit on the fence. There are so many of God's children today, and they want to sit on the fence. They don't want to offend anybody. They're like Aaron. He didn't want to offend. They said, make us, and he made it. And he compromised the truth. The people today, they're willing to compromise the truth, friend. What a tragedy. Rather than taking a stand for God. I tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a faithful preacher Sunday after Sunday in the pulpit, friend, and warn men and women about their need of Christ. If they die in their sin, they'll go to hell. But it's true. It's not easy to call people out publicly to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and against the awful sin and apostasy of this nation in this day and generation in which we live. And he cries out and he says, listen, who is on the Lord's side? Listen, you've got to take a stand. There's got to be a public declaration. You can't stay in the crowd any longer. Let him come on to me. You've got to choose sides. If you're coming unto me, says Moses, and you're coming, who's on the Lord's side? Listen, he says, listen, you come unto me for I'm on God's side. I'm taking my stand with God. Remember what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose ye this day. You have a choice to make, but he said, I've made the choice. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And friend, in the 2006, let me tell you, God's people are going to have to make a choice and take a stand for God. And I pray that God will help them to remain faithful no matter what it costs, friend. To remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. For let me tell you this, if we haven't the Lord, we have nobody. I must have the Savior with me. And they could no longer sit on the fence. And I'm glad it says here in verse 26, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Unto him. Are you willing, friend, to gather yourself unto him? It says, let us go unto him without the camp, friend, bearing his reproach. And there is a reproach to take your stand for the Lord. Let me tell you, it's a lot easier to go with a crowd. It's a lot easier to go with the flow. But being on the Lord's side, it demands separation. It demands a declaration. It demands dedication. Going the whole way. Are you going to go the whole way with God this year, friend? This new year? You're going to dedicate your life to the Lord and say, I've decided to follow Jesus and I'm not going back. The cross before me, the world behind, but I'm not going back. You see, that dedication, friend, was a very costly thing because notice what it says. Because not only, listen, take over, step over here, friend, the call to action, look at verse 27. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man a sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man's brother. And every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. What a solemn challenge. Now, God hasn't told you and me, or given command to you and me, to take up the sword tonight, but let me tell you, he has told us to take the sword of the Spirit. And if we're going to go through with God, friends, let me tell you this, we're going to base our lives upon what God says, not what man says. We're going to do what God says, not what man says. We're not going to do what the church says. We're going to do what God says. We're not going to do what religious society says. We're going to do what God says. This nation needs to get back. This people needs to get back to the Word of God, friend, because it's the sole foundation. It's the sole foundation of our practice. And sad realities that many today are going away from the old book. It grieves my heart so many people today, let me tell you, of these modern versions. And friend, if you study them carefully, you'll find that they're not faithful in their translation from the original script. But they try to confuse and sow the seeds of confusion among the people that the ungodly wonder, is there a Bible at all? And that's what the devil wants them to do. We've got to take the sword of the Spirit. And we've got, let me tell you, there's got to be a dying, friend. Yes, 3,000 died that day. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to die to self? Are you willing to die to sin self? And dedicate your whole life to Jesus Christ? And take up the sword of the Spirit in Jesus' name fervently and take a stand for God. Being on the Lord's side demands consecration. Look at verse 29. And Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Do you want God's blessing, friend? Children of God tonight, do you really want God's blessing? You want God's blessing upon your sons, upon your household, upon your family. You want God's blessing upon your home. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Lay your life on the altar for God, friend. And let God not have some of you. Let God have all that there is. And God will bless you. And then God says to Moses, I have a job for you. I want you now to go, after he pleaded with God and he cried unto God that God would spare the people and not consume them. And God says in chapter 33, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence. It's time to go. You've got to move on. Let's go forward. Let's go forward. Brethren and sisters, for us to go forward, let me tell you this. We've got to take our stand for the Lord. We've got to come out on the Lord's side. If we want to move forward, there has to be that separation. And there has to be that declaration. And there has to be that dedication. And there has to be that consecration. And then God will say, listen, it's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. And so we find that God tells Moses to move on, to leave Mount Sinai behind and to head for Canaan. God says, you know, I promised, even though that the children of Israel have failed me, even though they have sinned against me, I promised to bring them into Canaan, and I'll keep my promise. See, God doesn't break his promise, friend. He's a faithful God. There's not one word of his promise, but he's fulfilled. We have a faithful God. Oh, God knows that so many times we've been unfaithful, but he's always been faithful. We have a faithful God. And God says, Moses, he said, I promise to bring you into the land, and I will. He said, I promise to drive out the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites, and I will. I'll do that. But then he says something to Moses. He says, Moses, verse 3, unto a land flowing milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. He says in verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee. He says, but I'm not going up. I'm not going up in the midst of this people, because lest I consume them by the way. Because of Israel's sin, then God's presence would be lost. You can have all the organizations of the day, friend, and if the Lord's presence is lost, then what a tragedy. To grieve the Lord. Now, Moses was faithful. Thank God he was faithful. Because it says in verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, Moses was faithful. He didn't try to butter it up. He didn't try to change the message. You see, people today don't want to tell the message as God gives it. I go along to funerals at times, and I must confess, you don't know who's dead or who's more dead. The person that's burying or the person that's been buried. The tragedy is this, my friend. Even many of God's children stand before a congregation and to please the crowd, they cut the cloth. Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, listen, Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. And you be instant in season, and you be instant out of season. And you reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering. Listen, do it with all long-suffering, but do it with doctrine. Be faithful to God, Timothy. And I thank God for this privilege that I have of an eldership and a committee that stand behind me as I stand in this pulpit and have for many, many years. But once this preacher to preach the gospel, and friends, let me tell you, and even if he didn't, I will preach it. For God called me and God sent me, not man. And Moses was faithful to God. And he told them what God had said. God says, listen, I'll send an angel, but I will not go up in the midst of thee. Whenever he said that, notice what it says, and the people mourned. The people mourned. Losing the presence of the Lord, my friend, no one could ever describe how serious that is when God withdraws himself. Rodney and Helen sang the hymn tonight, Oh, for a closer walk with God. Think of the verse, Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. I'm not going to detain you tonight. But as Moses heard this from God, friends, let me tell you, his heart was breaking. And in verse 15 he said this, God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I believe with all my heart that Moses was conscious of his helplessness, his nothingness, his unworthiness. For without God he was nothing. And without the Lord, friend, I'm nothing at all. And worse than dust and ashes. Do you know what Moses said to God? He said this. God, if you're not going with me, then I'd rather die in the wilderness than move a single step without the consciousness of your presence with me. I pray more than anything else that we will, as these services go in this year which God has now called us into, that we will seek that in everything we will glorify and honor and magnify the Lord, friend. And let us not in anything we do or organize in this congregation, let us not grieve the Lord. But let us honor the Lord and let us honor His word and let us take our stand for God no matter what it costs. Because without the presence of the Lord, then our meetings would be in vain. There would be as nothing. Do you know what God said to Moses as he prayed and interceded? God said, Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give you rest. Oh God, go with us this year. Help us to plow a faithful furrow. Help us to sow the gospel seed. And should everybody leave us, Lord, as long as you're with us, that's all we need.
for one with the Lord, still a majority.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, bless it to our hearts, and thank You for Your presence. There's someone here tonight and they're not saved. And they're traveling into a new year and still they're lost. They're still without Thee. They're going into the darkness. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, stop them. Stop them in their sin. Stop them at the cross. Save them for eternity. In Jesus' precious name.